Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Tom Travis is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, as I promised you. Tom is managing partner at Sandler, Travis, and Rosenberg, which is a leading international trade and customs law firm. And he's also the author of The Essential Guide to Going Global. And as I told you earlier, he's an international expert on international trade. And he joins us from time to time to talk to us about what you and I need to be thinking about in our small businesses, about the global marketplace. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here again.
It's good to have you back. And Tom, as my audience knows, as I told them before you got here, I said, Tom, I actually don't like saying to small businesses, I think you should go global. I think you should be thinking about going global. I think that's a term that maybe puts some of my folks off a little bit. I don't mind the term. I start with our own neighborhood, and I just say, you know what? You need to get your head out of your own neighborhood. You need to be thinking about the fact that 95% of all the prospects in the world are not in the United States. And you need to be realizing that there's a whole wide world out there, and a lot of it is going to be your competitor in the 21st century, if not your customer. And you at least need to start thinking about the process of expanding your markets. What do you think about that idea?
It is expanding your markets and your own self-interest. Your self-interest is to make sure that your markets are sustainable over time, and the way they're going to be that way is by expanding where you go. And where you're going to go today, it's global. And I want to tell you, Jim, the companies that are at the forefront of this are not always the major companies. They're the small entrepreneurs who open up individual market lines in different places that people didn't think of before, because they've got the gumption, the initiative, and the nerve to go ahead and do it. So it really is self-interest, and it's expanding your opportunities.
And I'll tell you something else. It's also, I want to stick two more words in here, flexibility and versatility. Because I have a friend who's got a company, and he started 20 years ago, I'm not talking about a big company, he didn't even have 50 employees, and he's a distributor, and he started doing some international business about 20 years ago, and before he knew it, about 40% of his sales were international.
And when
his local economy took it on the chin for a year or two, his international business literally saved his bacon.
I've seen that over a 30-year period of time during my practice, and you're exactly right. The entrepreneur and the entrepreneurs are really focused and more prevalent in small businesses. They're the ones that make the difference. They're the ones that can be, as you say, flexible and versatile. And global means that.
Well, absolutely. But going global means you're going to neighborhoods you're not familiar with. And you need help with that. You need to understand. That's the reason why, Tom, I don't know if you agree with me, but I always recommend my small business owners to contact the Commerce Department's Commercial Services Division. What do you think about that?
I think that our government does have numbers of a lot of information out there through the Commerce Department.
Of course, Tom. That's right after I encourage them to buy your book, though.
Well, thank you for that commercial. I accept it. But you're right about one thing you stress. There is additional risk as you go global. And the best way to guard against that is to make sure that you understand what those risks might be and leverage yourself so that you all become a less likely to have those bad occurrences occur.
How do we create that leverage?
That is that information flow through the government. The other, of course, is to take a look at trade associations, which routinely publish that kind of information by industry specifics, so that you can anticipate where those issues might lie. And, of course, there are lots of other tricks that people can do. Not tricks, but really a prudent business pursuits that people can follow to minimize these additional risks. But we're seeing risks today in areas where we didn't see them globally before. First of all, as we discussed before the during your break, the security risk. Merchandise is being held up internationally so that the authorities in various countries can inspect it and make sure that it doesn't contain weapons of mass destruction or other adulterating products.
See, and as long as our goods are in limbo, and that continues to put our funds in limbo, even though basically we've delivered them, you know, FOB their doc. Tom, that's the kind of a situation that could be devastating to a small business.
And to any business, because you have not only the holdup of the goods and the impact on your cash flow and the impact on the direct business, but you've got the negative PR that can ensue because the food was adulterated, the toy was made with the wrong chemical and could hurt a child, or whatever the issue might be. So how do you guard yourself against those kinds of things? While there's no complete protection, there's no absolute insurance, there are ways where small businesses really can find out that information and at least take certain measures which would help them prevent the occurrence of the problem, and if it does occur, to prevent the problem becoming fatal.
Well, and you use the word transparency when you talk about these things. Tell us what you consider the definition of transparency to be.
Well, transparency in the international supply chain is knowing who the heck you're dealing with.
Yeah.
All the way down to those suppliers of the suppliers. And this transparency has become so important as you manage your business across global divisions and borders, because people aren't your employees. They aren't on your team necessarily. They need to be part of your team and become part of that team. And you need to have visibility and a common understanding of goals along that total supply chain in order to execute. Now, that's pretty commonplace for most folks.
But can you actually achieve that, though, internationally?
Well, you do it through strategic partnerships with people. You do it through contractual relationships. And you do it by demanding that you know, as an importer, who you're dealing with, what they're doing along that supply chain, and what those responsibilities are. But this requirement is not just commercial. This requirement now has become a security requirement. The U.S. government, the Customs and Bureau of Protection.
Hold on to that, Tom. Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Tom Travis is our guest. His book is called Doing Business Anywhere, The Essential Guide to Going Global. He and I will be right back 20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Tom Travis, the author of Doing Business Anywhere, The Essential Guide to Going Global. And, Tom, where's your book available?
It's available in most bookstores now, and it's online at both Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
All right. What about your own website?
It is. It's Doing Business Anywhere, and it's available. Available that way as well.
All right. And, of course, folks, my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's our regular site where you can find the show and my newsletter and the blog, all those good things that will help you with your business, and especially check out the knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. Tom Travis and I are talking about going global, folks, and some of the good, the bad, and the ugly in going global. Folks, it's not, you know, it's a wild, wild world out there. And what you got to do is taking risks here in the United States. If you're in the United States, if you're listening somewhere else, it's the same thing in your market. There are risks anywhere. But, you know, Tom, if it were easy, monkeys would be doing this. And so, you know, there are risks everywhere. You've got to balance all this. You've got to balance the risk and the opportunity and do the things that are prudent to minimize the risk, don't you?
Absolutely. It's risk and reward. But as we started at the top, Jim, these expanding opportunities, somebody's going to take advantage of them, somebody from some country, and it might as well be our entrepreneurs.
One of the things, you talked about transparency a minute ago, and you were talking about getting to know the people on the other side and, you know, really understanding them. One of the things that I think that Americans get into trouble on sometimes is we look at everybody else in the world and we expect them to behave the way we behave. We expect them to have the same ethics we have. We expect them to have the same, you know, bearing, the same values that we have. And if we enter into a situation like that, believing that, you know, without realizing that we may have to learn some new things, I think that's a level of naivete that can get you into trouble.
Well, I think you have to be prepared for all sorts of situations that can go wrong. I don't think you can over-focus on that, but you need to be prepared, and you need to take those actions which minimize risk in the international marketplace, is what I stress to people. Transparency is an example. If you don't know who's making the product you're going to import, you don't know if that maker is reputable. You don't know if they're going to use banned ingredients in making that product. You don't know if they're going to cause other problems with respect to the shipment of the goods. And you've got to know who you're dealing with. You've got to understand them. They have to understand what your goals are. We don't speak the same languages. We may not have the same exact codes, but we need to make sure that everybody on that supply chain understands the goal, understands how we expect it to be done, and it's in writing.
I have spoken with my audience about many, many times about how to plug in government assistance into their strategy. How would we plug a law firm into our global strategy?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily go to a law firm first. I know that sounds like a crazy admission from a lawyer,
but
I'm not sure you would. I think what you need to do is help yourself, and there's so much information that the U.S. government has. U.S. Foreign and Commercial Service is an excellent place to start, but it's not the only place to start. If you're importing food products, you want to start with the Food and Drug Administration. You want to understand what they have out there that can tell you about your product and which companies have been put on some watch list or a banned list. And you need to take a look at that. You've got to, as I mentioned before, you've got to take a look at trade associations. If you're talking about toys, there's a trade association on toys. They've got information.
They've got an international, the trade association in your country for your industry more than likely has an international division.
Increasingly, they must have those international divisions.
Right.
And or when you're talking about the, we've had recent scares on seafood, we've had it on pet food, we've had it on toothpaste, we've had it on tires and toys. The trade associations are the ones that really dig down and find out about that information.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, with the internet and the proliferation of information that we have, you can set up your own systems and your bookmarks so that you get that kind of information flowing directly to you, so you can monitor what's going around, what's going on around you. You don't need to be an expert in foreign affairs. You need to be an expert in your affairs.
Say that again. I like that.
You don't have to be an expert in foreign affairs. You have to be an expert in your business.
But you,
your
but you need, you do need to have people around you who are experts, who are available to you, who are experts in those issues, in those
Correct.
Foreign issues.
When you, the question is when to get that advice.
The timing.
Exactly. And you want to get this advice as to what you need to do to protect yourself in advance and structure yourself in that way, because it's always more expensive and more deleterious to pull yourself out of that problem than it is to keep yourself from stepping in that hole. And you can get that advice from the private sector, and I think there's a lot. But I think, again, it's the trade associations, the government information. It's also your contracts and how you structure your relationships. You know, are you going to put in your terms and conditions that the goods have to be, they have to pass all the U.S. regulatory hurdles coming into the United States? If you don't put that in, you're pretty silly.
Right, exactly. Tom, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Jim, and you provide an incredibly valuable service to your listeners.
Thank you very much. Doing Business Anywhere, The Essential Guide to Going Global by Tom Travis. I encourage you to find it, folks, wherever books are sold and at doingbusinessanywhere.com. Quick break. Right back with Rick Maurer. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.